Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. So we're still doing Surah Al-Kahf. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises himself and establishes the nubuwa and risala of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and describes the Qur'an, we are now in the fourth verse, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the purpose of the Qur'an, or one of the purposes of the Qur'an. وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَا لِأَبَائِهِمْ كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ إِنْ يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. And so that this Qur'an and this messenger may warn those people who claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a child. They don't have any knowledge of this, neither them nor their fathers before them. What a monstrosity comes from their mouths. كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً. What an evil lie their mouth utters. كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ إِنْ يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. They are saying nothing except lies. So in these two verses, Allah mentions one of the main purposes of the Qur'an, which is what? Which is to negate false accusations about Allah and to affirm what we must believe about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have no knowledge of who is Allah except through the Qur'an. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticizes anybody who claims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a child. Now, this verse came down in Mecca. And in Mecca there were no Christians or Jews. So therefore the addressees are the Quraysh. And the Quraysh used to claim that Allah has daughters. And the word walad in Arabic doesn't just mean a son, it means a child. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I have revealed this Qur'an to warn those, careful, don't say this. Anyone who says Allah has a child, or children, or daughters, or sons, this is not true. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ. How do you know this? Do you know this? Where do you get it from? The one excuse they say, our forefathers said it. Our culture, our tradition. So Allah says, neither you nor your forefathers. وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ. You don't know anything. And this shows us, brothers and sisters, that one of the greatest calumnies, one of the greatest sins in Islam, is to speak about Allah without knowledge. To speak about Islam without knowledge. Allah challenges those who speak lies about Allah. Where did you get this from? Who told you this? مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ. Neither them nor their forefathers, they know this. And the Qur'an tells us that one of the plots of shaitan, Allah says in the Qur'an, that shaitan commands you to associate partners with Allah, وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And one of the tricks of shaitan, you speak about Allah without knowledge. And this is one of the biggest problems. You cannot deviate from the truth, except if you speak a falsehood. Think about it. You cannot deviate from the truth, except if there's a lie about Allah, a lie about Islam, a lie about true Tawheed or true Risala. And where do these lies come from? Shaitan tells Allah, I will command them to do this and I will tell them lies. So anybody who speaks without knowledge of Allah and His Messenger and the Qur'an and Islam, this person is getting his information from shaitan. This is what the Qur'an tells us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negates any false information. You have no knowledge, neither you nor your forefathers. What a monstrosity comes from their mouths. كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ إِنْ يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. They are saying nothing but lies. And no person on earth likes to hear slander about himself or herself. Do you like it if somebody says about you something that is false? It is ingrained in us that we despise falsehood. We despise lies. It is ingrained in us that when we are slandered, we want to defend ourselves. And this feeling comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He put it in us. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified this. He said, there is no being who is more patient than Allah. They slander him and they lie about him and they accuse him of having children and he still provides for them. If your enemy lied about you, could you be generous to that enemy? If your enemy accused you of a crime, of a falsehood, could you be generous to that enemy? No, wallahi, you could not. Yet our Prophet ﷺ said, there is no being who is more patient and more forbearing than Allah. They lie about him. They even reject him. They deny him. They attribute children to him. But what does he do? He continues to give them their rizq. He continues to give them their sustenance. Also notice Allah says, what a lie comes from their mouths. Because
To say that Allah has a child cannot come from the intellect. It cannot come from knowledge. It cannot come from a book. Where does it come from? They literally invent it from their mouths. كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ It's just words. It's hot speech. It doesn't have a basis in the intellect, in the scripture, in the aql. All of this is coming straight from their hot air. كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ And then to affirm how evil it is, they are saying, إِنْ يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا They are saying that which is not true, it is a lie. And to lie about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of the greatest crimes. And the Quran tells us in Surah Maryam, the Quran tells us that when the creation around us, when the heavens and the earth, when the mountains hear that certain beings attribute a child to Allah, those mountains, they want to crumble. How dare أَنْدَعَوْ لِلْرَحْمَانِ وَلَدًا That they have claimed that Ar-Rahman has a child. وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلْرَحْمَانِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا And it is not befitting, it is not appropriate that Ar-Rahman beget a child. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ So Allah says one of the main purposes of the Quran is what? Is to correct misinformation about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then verse number 6 and 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا Surely it is very likely, فَلَعَلَّكَ Surely it is very likely, بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ You will cause yourself, the word بَاخِع is very deep, there is no English equivalent. بَخَعَ means to, literally it means to die from depression. To die from depression. And Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us that, Ya Rasulullah, if you continue down this path, you will cause your own destruction by your grief. Why is he sad? Where is the grief coming from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ In following their footsteps, إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا If they don't believe in this speech, in this Qur'an, out of a grief for them. So, this verse is so profound because it shows us many things. First and foremost, the sheer eloquence. It is as if the Prophet ﷺ is following their footsteps, عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ They are turning around and walking away, and our Rasul ﷺ is going after them one after another. And in that going around and in that following them, he is feeling depressed. Why is he feeling depressed? Because they have rejected him? No, because they have rejected Allah. إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ And this shows us as well, the sincerity of the Prophet ﷺ. Wallahi, most of us, when we preach, we are calling to our own egos and ourselves. When we're in an argument, we want to win. We don't want the truth to win. Our Prophet ﷺ, he wanted the truth to win, not himself. And Allah clarifies this, إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ You are concerned because they don't believe in the Qur'an, not because they have rejected you, but because they have rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also notice over here, that Allah mentions the Prophet ﷺ before he mentions the rejectors. And the point here, Allah has told us the Qur'an and the role of the Qur'an. Then what is the response? He didn't say they rejected the Qur'an. Rather, Allah addresses the Prophet ﷺ in the single, in the first person. And he says, basically he is saying to him, calm your grief down. Console yourself. Don't take it to this level. If you continue, you will cause destruction and harm to yourself if they don't believe. Our Lord did not address the Quraysh for rejecting the Prophet ﷺ. Our Lord addressed the Prophet ﷺ for his grief at having been rejected. So who does Allah care about? The rejectors or the affirmers? Who does Allah care about? The mu'min or the kafir? Our Lord does not need to address the kafir here. Our Lord is concerned about the grief that Rasulullah ﷺ felt when the Quraysh rejected him. And our Lord Himself consoles Rasulullah. And this is multiple times in the Quran, half a dozen times at least. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calms the Prophet ﷺ down. And this shows us the maqam of the Nabi. It shows us the status of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is consoling him. This also shows us that the one who is on the path of Allah, Allah cares about him infinitely more than the one who rejects the path. The one who rejects, he has rejected. The one who is on the path, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned with him. It also shows us that our Lord that our Lord consoles our Prophet in distress, and from this we gain the simple sunnah. When we find somebody in a dire situation, we should give them console them. We should give them words of comfort. These words of comfort, if a musibah has happened, a calamity has happened, a loved one has died, financial problem, anything that happens, the heart is grieved. What should be done? Allah consoles the Prophet ﷺ. How about us when we are in grief? We need that consolation even more. And that is why our Prophet ﷺ made it a sunnah. When he found somebody in distress, he would give them words of comfort. And when Ja'far died, he visited the house of Ja'far, his cousin. He physically put his hand on the children of Ja'far, the orphans, and he made dua for them. And he praised the women of Ja'far, the wives of Ja'far, for their patience. So these are words of consolation. Allah consoled the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ consoled the Sahaba. We as well, when we find anybody in distress, and a legitimate distress, we should give them words of comfort. Also notice here, our Prophet ﷺ's concern for his people was so much. Allah used a very harsh word, baqi'. And baqi' literally means, as Ibn Abbas translated, he explained, baqi' means muhlikun nafsak. You will kill yourself out of grief. That grief will consume you. Why was he grieved? Because he loved his people so much. So anybody who wants to call to Islam, you need to have that genuine love for your people. You want to have your people to love this religion and to love Allah like you. Not for your ego, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt this love can go to an extreme, to the point that it will prevent you from living normally. So in the beginning of the da'wah, our Lord told the Prophet ﷺ, check it back, keep it in check. Don't take that grief that much. عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ, going in their footsteps, if they do not believe in this book. And then Allah says two more verses, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَىٰ الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا. We have made everything on top of this earth a decoration for the earth. زِينَةً لَهَا. So everything on top of the earth. And that is men and women, palaces, beautiful trees, rivers and oceans, everything that we see, it is a beautification, not for Allah, for this world. زِينَةً لَهَا. Allah does not need this world. This world is not the permanent world. Allah is telling our Prophet ﷺ, all that is on this world and above it, it is a beautification for this world. Why? لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ. We are going to test all of them. أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Who does the best deeds? Not the most deeds, rather the best deeds. Allah is not looking for quantity, Allah is looking for quality. All of this that is on this world, it is a test for them. Their money, their children, their women, the possessions that they own, all of this that is on this earth, we are going to test them, and we will see who will do not the most, the best. And this shows us it is quality. Wallahi, a person can give $1 million and another can give 10. And it is possible that that million is worthless in the eyes of Allah, and that 10 is worth millions and millions. It goes back to the intention. A person can pray 2 rak'ah and that rak'ah can be more precious than this whole world and all that is in it. And another can pray 200 and it will be thrown back at him because his intention was wrong. لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. All that they have. Now why? What is the munasabah? What is the reason why this verse comes after the previous one? Scholars say that perhaps it is natural for a person to feel, why do the Quraysh, why do those who reject Allah have so much wealth, so much power? Why are they at the pinnacle of civilization? Why do they own? Why do they control? Why don't we have this? So, and this was the case in early Mecca, the Quraysh had the power, the Quraysh had the izzah, the Muslims were the ones persecuted. So what did Allah say? All that they have, this is a test for them. Don't put your heart on this. Because the next verse clarifies, وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ. Look, verse number 6 says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا. The next verse, وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ. We have done, we will do. We have done this, we will do something else. What have we done? We have made the world a zina, a beautification. What will we do? We will make this whole world sa'id and juruza. And sa'id means flat land. And juruza means infertile, without any greenery. So Allah is saying, all of this beauty that you see, it is temporary. And a time will come, and of course this is Yawm Al-Qiyamah, because Allah says in the Quran, on that day, this world will be substituted for another world. يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَوْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ. So Allah is saying, don't be deceived by this greenery, by this finery, by this power, by all that they have, because a time will come when what? This whole world, وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا. Sa'id means flat land. There will be nothing. The Quran tells us the mountains will crumble. The Quran tells us that everything that is here will be destroyed. So Allah is saying, just wait. A time will come when all of this world will be flat and juruz. And juruz means infertile. There's no greenery. There's nothing that's going to be there. And so our Lord is telling the Prophet ﷺ, and through him he's telling us, don't be deceived. Don't be disillusioned by the greenery of this world. This world, it is a zina for this world only. It is a beautification for this world. And the real beautification will be in the next world. And inshallah, tomorrow we will start the story of the men in the cave. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.